85% des métiers de 2030 n'existent pas encore, selon un rapport de Dell et de l'Institut pour le futur. Et nous, on a voulu aller à la rencontre de ces métiers pour vous en parler.
Que tu arrives sur le marché du travail ou que tu souhaites te reconvertir, ce podcast est là pour te présenter la réalité de ces nouveaux métiers. Si jamais tu as un métier d'avenir, n'hésite pas à nous envoyer un message sur LinkedIn, nous serions ravis de te compter parmi nos invités.
In today's English special of Work Revolution, we're joined by Catherine Agapitos, who is passionate about the environment and has been actively working on tackling complex sustainability issues over the years. She worked with governmental bodies, private organizations, and charities across the UK, Canada, and Switzerland. So without further ado, let's jump in. Could you tell us who you are and what you do?
So thank you very much for having me on today's podcast. I'm really happy to be here. So my name is Catherine Agapitos. I'm a product sustainability advisor at SECA. We're based in Switzerland, in Zurich. Basically, as part of my job, I deal with a wide range of sustainability topics and focusing specifically on product sustainability in terms of the products we produce at SECA. So we're a construction chemical company.
Could you tell us a little bit more about your journey and how you got to where you are today?
Of course. I'd like to start way back from a younger age. So obviously sustainability is a topic where you need quite a bit of passion. This means having quite keen interest in the topic. So of course, environmental sustainability topics have always been interesting to me from a young age. And that means that I was interested in pursuing my studies in terms of environmental science and sustainability and climate change in particular. So in terms of kind of getting into the environmental area, I started off by doing an undergraduate degree at the University of Ottawa in environmental sciences. That was kind of my first opportunity to also get introduced into the working world because I did a cooperative education program there. And that involved having some different work placements, co-op placements with different organizations. So as part of my degree, I was able to work in some governmental organizations. So working at some federal departments in Canada, also delving into the environmental consulting area, doing some consultancy work in terms of environmental science, as well as some non-departmental governmental bodies. And that was quite interesting to put the environmental science aspects into practice. So of course, university studies are quite academic and not always practical related. So that was a great kind of way to get introduced into the working world.
Sorry, just to pause here a little bit. I think it's super interesting also for maybe, you know, some of our listeners that are thinking about how to orientate themselves into studies. How easy was it for you to navigate, you know, the different programs and figuring out which one was more tailored to your needs?
Yeah, so that's a really good point. And that's something I was thinking a lot about when thinking about the kinds of things I wanted to say on the podcast, because obviously, so this podcast is about newer careers and areas that are up and coming and that sort of thing. Environmental studies and environmental science is a newer area. It's of course been around for a while, but I think in terms of having more and more professions, it's definitely evolving. And I've already seen that in terms of my experience so far. Yeah, at the beginning for me, I had an interest in environmental issues. And so going for environmental science was a no-brainer. But then in terms of preparing yourself for the working world, I think that can also maybe limit you to more of an academic setting, and then getting the foot into industry is not always that straightforward from that purely academic science area. And I think there's a lot more programs now that are more related to industry, or there's programs which have more of that business correlation in terms of sustainability. And I think that's really important. And it of course depends what you want to do. If you want to be a researcher going out into the field and drilling ice cores in a glacier, of course you need to have these kind of high academic qualifications, but maybe if you want to go into an organization, then focusing on something that has a bit more of that practical industry experience is something I would recommend. And for me, that's part of what I what I really valued about having done the co-op program. So this is a program that's available in Canada, and it's similar to programs in the UK, I think kind of like a year in industry. And that's a really helpful way if you're not sure what a career could look like in terms of your field of interest. I didn't know anybody in my life who had done this kind of work. This is something I wanted to do, but I definitely had to kind of figure it out on my own.
If you think back now to your younger self, anything that you could have done differently?
Being really open-minded. And I remember when I was younger in high school and a friend was telling me, oh, I have an aunt who works in sustainability and she works for an oil company. And I thought, oh, I don't want to talk. I'm not so interested in that. But, you know, looking beyond those kind of traditional areas, the fact is that there's not a lot of jobs in terms of, you know, going to work for an NGO, or perhaps it's harder to make a living doing those kinds of jobs. And the reality is that we're a society that has all kinds of companies, businesses, and we need people inside those businesses to kind of help make change from the inside and do that part to move towards a more sustainable society. So I think definitely being open-minded in terms of who you want to talk to, and also being open-minded in terms of the kinds of businesses you might see yourself working with. From my perspective, for me, it was always either being consultant or trying to work for an NGO. But the reality is there's a lot more jobs out there in terms of sustainability. And it's just being a bit more open-minded where you look for them.
Now, if you think a bit about the trajectory of environmental jobs since you finished your studies, do you feel like there are a lot more out there now than when you first started looking as a graduate?
Yeah, I think it depends on the area. So when I first started out, I was in Canada, and I think the sustainability world there is maybe a little bit different than other countries. Then I moved to the UK after doing my master's there in climate change. I then started work, like really going into the working world there, and the landscape is quite different. And then again, here in Switzerland, where I am now, it's again a different story. So I think, yeah, it depends. It depends on the country you're in. There's some countries who are a bit more, I'd say, advanced in terms of certain topics. So looking at the UK in particular, there's definitely a lot of sustainability jobs out there. And there's a lot more distinction in terms of sustainability and environmental jobs separate to the traditional environmental health and safety jobs, where they can often be like included. And that's kind of the more old fashioned way of seeing sustainability, which is a tag on to the health and safety side of things, which is obviously an important topic. But for a sustainability professional, you want to be able to focus on the sustainability topic specifically. So I definitely say there's more opportunities, and more companies are being interested in these kinds of topics. And again, it kind of depends on the landscape of each country. I'd say in terms of Switzerland, for example, so having come from the UK to Switzerland, it's definitely more in terms of this EHS old-fashioned view of sustainability jobs. And then in the UK, from my experience, it was a lot more specific sustainability environment jobs that are related to specific topics like carbon and that sort of thing.
Yes, that's another very interesting topic around when you're looking for a job in sustainability, they're not all created equal. What are maybe things to watch for in terms of how different jobs description look like and how strategic it is, I guess, within the company and what they pertain to?
Mm-hmm. I suppose that's a good point. I think it's probably like a lot of different industries, and you can be I think the first part is if you want to be more of like a generalist looking at a wide range of topics, a broad environmentalist or sustainability practitioner, and you want to be able to kind of be on a more high level. Then of course there's like very specific jobs in terms of specific sustainability topics. So things like topics like waste and air quality, water, trying to think if you want to be really broad, if you want to be really a specialist in an area. So when I first started working in the UK, for me it was a priority to work in climate change because that's what I had done my master's in. And of course, if you want to go for something very specific, maybe there's less opportunities. And then in my second role, so I had the opportunities to get promoted in the company where I was working. So when I was working for HS2 in the UK, into a broader environmental role. And I realized then that actually it's not so bad. It's actually quite interesting to be more of a generalist and have more of a a bird's eye view over a range of topics. So I think that's something to think about. And I would say I wouldn't restrict yourself in terms of the scope and kind of being open-minded. Of course, it depends on your qualifications in terms of how specialized you can go, but I think keeping it broad also gives you more opportunities. Another thing to think about is how technical you want to be. So if you're, you know, interested in more quantitative topics, or if you're really more interested in broader strategic type roles. So there's definitely options in both of those areas.
Talking a bit more about what you do now, you know, how does that compare with your previous roles? And I mean, all of them are super interesting. So if you could explore a little bit more what your day-to-day or the skills that you had to bring on to the job.
So my current role, I'm a product sustainability advisor at Sika. And like I mentioned before, Sika is a manufacturer of construction chemicals, and they've been around for about 100 years, based in Switzerland. And in terms of my role there, I work in the corporate sustainability team, quite a small team. So we're very global as a company. We have offices in over 100 countries and also production facilities. And so our corporate team is quite small, and I'm part of the operations, technology, and sustainability team. And in terms of my specific job, so my overall team looks at a really wide range of topics. So looking at product sustainability, as well as more operational topics. So in terms of our production sites and you know, how we look at waste and water usage and energy and that kind of thing. Those are the two aspects, kind of this is the product specific and then the broader operations. And I'm more involved in the product specific side of things. So as part of my job, I'm responsible for doing sustainability analyses. So looking at life cycle assessment for our products. This involves quantifying the inputs and the outputs of our products and calculating essentially the potential environmental impacts of our products. This can be done for internal calculations or looking at, you know, decision making. How can we optimize our products to make them more sustainable? So if you're interested in looking into a specific indicator, like carbon, for example, is a common one. And it can also involve preparing third-party verified documents which declare the environmental impact associated with our products. This is called an environmental product declaration. And these are always related to specific products. So that's one part of my job. I'm also involved in broader sustainability topics, so working more in terms of our strategy, so our overall group sustainability strategy. I've been involved in kind of more climate change related aspects in terms of CO2 reporting and that sort of thing, as well as working towards our sustainable solutions target area. So we have, as part of our group strategy, a target to have more and more solutions within our portfolio that have improved sustainability benefits as well as performance. So that's kind of one key area that I focus on. And of course, I think like with any job, there's also other topics which are less related to kind of the technical skills and more in terms of the soft skills. So I do a lot of communication in terms of sustainability with our colleagues in all of the different Sika locations, doing some training for our colleagues, like webinars and that kind of thing on sustainability topics. And that sort of thing. So kind of really a broad range of activities. And so part of it is kind of more on the technical side, and then the other side is more broad and more strategic in nature. So that's one of the things I really like. It's kind of a combination of the two, which suits me quite well.
Super interesting also to read. I was looking a little bit at Sika's website that they've built a strategy around sustainable development goals, and that they are focusing on 8 out of the 17 goals. How do you effectively build a strategy around SDGs? I saw that you come up with very specific targets, things that you can quantify, but would be awesome to see whether you've had some input into this or how you've been involved.
Yeah, so in terms of the sustainable development goals, so like you said, we have our strategy, which is aligned with a number of the sustainable development goals. And basically, in terms of our strategy, we have 6 target areas in terms of more value and less impact. And like you said, we have specific targets in terms of, for example, taking climate is one of our target areas, and then we try to align that with the SDGs. And in terms of that, it's really kind of identifying you know, which topics are material to a company, and then trying to focus in on those and see where we can have a positive impact. And then, of course, by setting targets and kind of tracking progress around that. I've only been with Sika for a year now. It's obviously been established before I joined, but in a nutshell, yeah, thinking about what is important for a company and what we can positively impact and work towards.
Just curious, actually, if there are any, any special like tools that you use. Also, you talked a lot about having quite a few quantitative things that you need to do as part of your day-to-day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're involved in different working groups, and I think our involvement with the World Business Council for Sustainable Development is an interesting one, and thinking about, yeah, those tools. So maybe not specifically to like life cycle assessment. So there's obviously specific tools, product sustainability tools about that, but I'm involved in a working group that's about using a circular transition indicator tool. And it's a tool that helps you calculate kind of your circularity for your product. So looking at your inputs and your outputs, so that kind of thing, of course, exists. There are different methods and that kind of thing. I think there are lots of tools popping up in that space for sure. From my time when I was working on HS2, there were definitely some software options that were available in terms of life cycle assessment. So I know that some of our contractors who are working on the project were making use of specific LCA software for construction projects, and those are increasingly becoming available. So from our perspective, it's really on the product side. I think it's then when you go into a project level that perhaps becomes more interesting.
If you think about now your experience at Sika, if you contrast it with maybe your previous experience in the UK at HS2, what are some of the big differences? And maybe, you know, does that also highlight some things that you love more about your job now, or that you like less about your job now?
Yeah, so comparing my job at HS2. So while I was at HS2, I worked in two different roles. So my first role was in the climate change team in the technical department. And then my second role was as an environment advisor in the phase 1 construction team. For those of you who aren't aware, HS2 is one of the biggest infrastructure projects in Europe. That means that it has also a massive environmental bill that goes with it, and a wide range of requirements that need to be met to build the project. And that also means that there's really big teams of environmental professionals working on the project. So both in terms of in the company, it's a client project, so you're working as part of the client, and then you also work with a lot of consultants who help in terms of getting the environmental statement through Parliament, as well as then on the ground in terms of delivering the project. It's really different in terms of from that perspective. So compared to what I'm doing now, which focuses specifically on products, that was really a more broad view of an entire project and a really early stage project that didn't you know, exist yet. It was being planned. Now they've started construction and all that's on the ground. So that's a key difference. And that was something that was challenging for me when I went. You know, I had already worked in the construction industry, but then going from the project level down to the product level and understanding, you know, how a company works that actually wants to sell products versus, you know, a company that's building a project and that has a budget from the government to do so. It's quite a different working environment. And that means also the team you're working with is much, much bigger. So on the HS2 example, working with a wide range of specialists in all kinds of disciplines, as well as generalists, and really working in terms of that governmental view in terms of getting these acts of parliament passed so that the rights for building the project can be gained. Quite different setup. The role in the technical department, which involved really setting the climate change requirements that contractors had to work to. So working as part of that team, and I was more focused on the carbon side of things. So looking at carbon reduction targets and setting all those kinds of requirements up as part of a team. And then afterwards, then moving on the construction delivery side, which is then working with contractors and making sure that we're actually meeting the targets that we set in terms of kind of designing the scheme as well as construction. Quite a different view. And then And then, like I said, then coming to a company that sells products and that's trying to, you know, make money, essentially, it's quite a different environment. So that was a bit of a challenge when I joined Sika, and really kind of changing that mindset as well.
And I guess now moving on to like maybe the things that you like less about those different positions.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult to say. I think my job at HS2, especially when I was in the construction delivery side of things, it was more doing that assurance to make sure everyone was doing what they had to do, and then acting if something wasn't going right, and you know, going onto a construction site and dealing with people, and you know, in a more male dominated work environment on site as well as in the office, where you're working with a lot of engineers who were probably male and a bit older, so trying to kind of convince those people to think about sustainability, you know. And it could be things in terms of that construction job I was talking about, you know, it could be about a contractor that's starting to do work in an area where there's, I don't know, a protected species, or if there's maybe an invasive species and they need to take care of that. And, you know, getting people to kind of respect those requirements is challenging. And then of course, it kind of feels more like, you know, not a policing job, but really kind of checking up and that sort of thing. Whereas in the more business side of things, it's really more about, you know, moving away from that mindset and really working with colleagues on projects and trying to promote what we're doing and look at new opportunities for new product developments and that sort of thing. So moving from, you know, doing all those checks to really kind of collaborating with colleagues and looking at new opportunities and new solutions. So I do like that quite a bit from the Sika world, and kind of, I think that's a key difference from the government side going then into business, which is really interesting.
And so what are some of the skills that you need to do this? I think you've already alluded to obviously having a passion for climate and for the environment. And also you've talked about communication skills and being able to communicate on the topic. What are some of the other skills you would say that are required to excel at what you do?
I think one important skill is being able to communicate and to explain things that could be very technical to a range of different audiences. So in my job and what I do now, I do a lot of very technical analyses, and I need to then be able to perhaps use those results to support maybe our R&D department to then make a decision on, for example, I've been working on a project recently about looking at selecting some lower carbon raw materials to input into some of our formulations, as an example. So then once you have that analysis done, then how can you then communicate about that effectively to help then the decision-making process in the organization, for example? And then of course, if it needs to be very technical, being able to speak with, you know, chemists about these kinds of analyses as well, which is in my area at Sika, it's a chemical company. I work with lots of chemists and a lot of very highly educated people who are very technical as well. So really being able to go from the high level, not so complicated, to then being able to also speak about things in quite a bit of detail. I think that's really important. And I think also being able to have an ability to see things from a higher level in terms of the strategic goals of a company, while at the same time being able to do specific product related topics. So I think what I think is always important is kind of having that link to an overall strategy in everything we do, and really trying to support our goals and objectives, like you said, linking into the SDGs and that sort of thing. So I think being able to have different views in terms of, you know, the level of granularity, if you want, to go to, is really important. So I think, yeah, being adaptable as well is quite key in terms of environment and sustainability jobs.
And then around hard skills and training, so you've obviously mentioned you've done a master's degree. What type of qualifications do you need to operate in the product sustainability space?
So in terms of qualifications, I think in terms of environmental sustainability roles, most people will have a degree specifically in environmental science or environmental management and sustainability. A lot of people also have master's degrees and that sort of thing. In terms of other qualifications, so in Switzerland here, I don't get the feeling that it's that important. But while I was in the UK, being a member of a professional association is quite important. So in terms of a lot of the jobs in the UK, if you want to work for a consultancy or you want to work for a big project and that sort of thing, they'll also ask for professional body memberships and working towards maybe a chartered status. So for example, I'm a member of the Institute of Environmental Management and Assessment in the UK, and I'm currently a practitioner member of the Institute. I was also volunteering as part of their Southeast Regional Steering Group while I was living in the UK. And one of my goals is to work towards that chartered status. It's kind of more of a like hangover from my time in the UK. It's not that recognized here, I don't think, or at least it's not that known, but for me it's definitely something I'm going to be looking to. And I think having that affiliation to a professional body is really helpful. It also helps you learn about what other people are doing in the space. For me, it was really important when I came to the UK. I didn't know anybody. I had just finished studying. And I had my first job was an unpaid job working for an NGO doing volunteer work. So I had to start off that way because I didn't have any UK experience. And getting my foot in the door with IEMA was really helpful, and kind of getting to know people, go to networking events and find out what kind of jobs are available. Because of course, that's the other thing. When you go to a new country, you don't know what the job market is like, and it might be different from where you come from. So those kinds of associations can be really, really helpful.
Talking a little bit about finances, it's interesting because you've been obviously through a range of experiences, and so you've been able to work for the government. You know, you said you've done an unpaid internship. It sounds like there's quite a range. If you could comment a little bit on this, that would be also very helpful.
Yeah, of course. I think it depends what you want to do. So like I said, maybe if you're going to try to work for a more voluntary organization, you know, maybe the salaries will be lower. And the other thing there is that you might be on like fixed contracts. You might not be working full time. So those are things to consider. Then when you get more into the consultancy and like kind of government body type jobs, like in the UK, I'd say the salaries are quite all right. You can definitely live from them. And that's definitely, you know, definitely something I think that will also gain importance. And I think that will be reflected in salaries as well. And then of course, then in terms of working for a business, then I think it's also something that you can live from. And like I said, I do think that these jobs are going to become increasingly important in the future. And I don't doubt that that will be related to kind of earning potential in the field in the future. Of course, it's not like working in the financial services industries or anything like that, but you can definitely live.
How do you think about the next step of your career? Like, if you think about the evolution of what you do today, what does it look like in 5 years?
Yeah, a good question, and something I've been thinking about lately. Of course, having just moved to Switzerland and kind of learning the job market here and learning a new company, in terms of looking into the next 5 years, I hope to be working probably still in business and hopefully helping to influence the sustainability strategy of a company and really helping a company hone in on specific areas. For me personally, I'm really interested in climate change and carbon. So, you know, maybe being involved in like target setting and in a company and that sort of thing, and really helping drive the sustainability agenda forward. And I think maybe as I get more experience, maybe moving a little bit away from the more technical, very technical side of things and going more towards the high level strategic side of things. But I think that's kind of a natural transition as you gain more and more experience. But I do like both aspects, and I hope to kind of still be able to maintain the technical side of things, but maybe be in more of an influencing role in terms of an organization. And yeah, like I said, I'm I think that having this open-minded attitude and in terms of industry, and if you know you want to work in sustainability and being open-minded in terms of other opportunities as they come up, I think for me, that's definitely something that I think is important. And so perhaps when I think about where I'll be in 5 years, who knows, but maybe I'll still be with Sika, maybe I'll still be in construction, maybe I'll be doing something completely different. But I hope that whatever it is, it's in a capacity that can really influence the sustainability strategy and outcomes of whatever company it is.
You've provided lots of great advice already. Is there anything else that you want to add for people that would want to do something similar to what you're doing?
Like I said, being a bit open-minded, and I think that can mean also, we kind of touched on it before, if you're maybe just starting out, the option to maybe do something unpaid if you're able to, or do some voluntary work on the side. For me, that was always a really important thing. When I was in the UK, I did a lot of work with the London Wildlife Trust doing some conservation products. I also worked with Sustrans, which is a charity that helps promote the use of sustainable transport. So looking at cycling and that kind of thing. So I think getting involved in those kinds of things is also really helpful, because of course, if you're maybe in an area where there's not a lot of paid sustainability roles, if you're able to get that experience in another way, it's definitely something that's helpful in it. And for me, in terms of going from Canada to the UK, and when I didn't have any work experience there, even though I had some work experience in Canada, it was really then those volunteering opportunities and getting involved in professional bodies that really then opened the door, because it is hard when you move countries to get that foot in the door when you don't have those connections. So I think being open to maybe doing some additional activities is definitely something I would recommend, in addition to kind of the professional experience.
Thank you so much, Catherine, for all of this wisdom. It was really great chatting to you. I just want to give you the opportunity now, if you want to share anything, if there is something you want to talk about, maybe more specifically, this is your time.
So obviously my day job is product sustainability advisor at Sika. I also have a food blog that I run in my spare time. It's called Beloved Kitchen, and I try to kind of incorporate sustainability ideas into that as well. So if you're interested in cooking and kind of sustainable ways of eating, then you can definitely have a look at that. In terms of anything else to add, I'd of course like to say, thanks very much for having me on here and for giving me the opportunity to share my experience. It's definitely an area that I'm really passionate about, and I hope that a lot of people will be interested in pursuing careers in those areas in the future, and yeah, helping to affect positive change on the world.
I really, really appreciate the time to have you on our podcast.